We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome to the program my special co-host today, Kim Sorrell, author of Love Is. Kim, thanks for stopping by. And we have an amazing guest today. And it's because I wish I could do this obstacle course. I want to do this obstacle course. I'm a legitimate 6'10". I had a conversation with Akbar about it a couple of times. And he told me he could do it. And I said, dude, I'm 6'10". I don't know if I can do it. And he says, it's really tough. So who's our guest today?
Yeah, you wish you could do it. I wish I could do it. I pretend to be 5'2". So I think somewhere height in between is probably a better place to go. Brian Richardson, welcome to the show. You are the executive producer of this amazing show, America Ninja Warriors. I believe you've been nominated for 4 Emmys, which blows my mind. I don't know. I don't talk to people who have been nominated for Emmys. Like, this is so cool. So I'm so excited to meet you. I'm from Michigan. You're from Indianapolis, I believe. So go Midwesterners and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That's right. Go Big Ten.
That's right.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks for being here. I am curious. Is it true? Is there any truth to Ninja Warriors becoming an Olympic sport?
Yeah, there's been actually, it's very exciting. There's been a lot of attention and some headlines with that lately. It's what they're talking about right now is making Ninja part of an Olympic event called Modern Pentathlon, which is sort of kind of an outdated event, you might say. It's 5 events, which has been around since the Olympics started, I think, in the early part of like 1912 or something. And it was kind of modeled after what a army officer would do. So you have shooting, swimming, running, equestrian events. And it's a little outdated. Not a lot of people do those events anymore. So they're kind of looking to modernize, to make it a little more interesting. And so they're talking about replacing the equestrian events, the horse riding, with Ninja. And it would be a sort of a sprint through a course, and that would be one of the 5 events. And they've been doing some testing just in the last couple of months with some pentathletes and seeing how it would go. And so they're talking about doing that potentially in 2028, which is exciting, just to see it as part of that event. And then hopefully at some point, Ninja itself will become a standalone Olympic event. Because it's really blown up around the world. It's really taken off. There's a lot of things, hoops you have to jump through to get an Olympic sport approved. It has to be something that's, sort of played on, I think, 4 continents and X number of countries, so that it's sort of a worldwide sport, which Ninja is really getting up to that. It's, there are, I think, a couple of dozen versions of sort of American Ninja Warrior that they now do in Germany, in France, in Israel, and all these different countries. And it's really taken off around the world.
So Brian, did you think when you started with this, that it would go to this level, meaning thinking about American Ninja Warrior? I mean, like, I remember the first couple of seasons and I started interviewing people, and then they talk about the competition and how the competition got fiercer and fiercer and more people. Then they started having training facilities all over the United States and all over the world where people are training to become American Ninja Warriors. It was like, kind of like almost like this fad or this new thing. And now to talking about an Olympic sport. So did you think it was ever going to be this?
Yeah, it's crazy how much it's grown really in the last 10 years or so. It had a kind of an interesting evolution. It started in Japan, and it was this, if you've ever seen sort of the Japanese kind of game shows, they're a little kind of kind of goofy, and this was called Sasuke, which was the sort of the birth of the Ninja Warrior phenomenon, and it was done on a raw in a dirt field behind the Tokyo broadcasting system. And it was called Sasuke, and they started airing it on G4, which was a cable channel here in America, which was kind of primarily aimed at, young males, gamers, that type programming. And it became very popular. And so the people at G4 said, why don't we do an American version of this? So they started in America, kind of, low production value kind of thing. It was the first one was in a parking lot behind a Costco. And But it became popular, and the people who came out and did it were not professionals. They were everyman type people, you know, who worked at the shoe store and, you know, accountants who just wanted to kind of challenge themselves and have this adventure. And then it became popular on G4, and NBC, which owned, was sort of the corporate parent of G4, said, you know, that looks kind of interesting. Why don't we put that on network TV? And production values were upped. You know, Arthur Smith at A. Smith and Company sort of took over the show and made it sort of ready for prime time, and added a lot of lights, camera, and some made it a primetime show. And that's when it really started to take off, and it became something that people would train for year round instead of something that people would come out once a year and sort of, you know, try their luck. And now it's amazing. There are ninja gyms in virtually every city in America. Some of them have three or four, and there are regional competitions almost every weekend. It's become a thing now where parents put their kids into ninja, where they used to, you know, play Little League or Pop Warner football or do karate lessons or gymnastic lessons. And now they take their kids to ninja, and they go to these classes two or three times a week. And then they maybe go to a competition, you know, out of town, you know, once a month or so. And there are leagues and different things going on all the time. There's probably a ninja competition going on somewhere this weekend that people are traveling to right now.
Crazy. My goodness. That's crazy. I mean, That's a lot. That's amazing. Yeah. So, and in kind of a short amount of time, right? Like what kind of a time span are you talking?
Well, it's really been in the last 10 years. This is the 14th year of the show, but we've been on, this is our ninth full season on NBC. And that's when it really sort of blew up. Before it was kind of a niche thing on cable that people were aware of, and maybe people who were, you know, watching G4 were aware of, or watched, you know, Japanese programming. But it's really taken off in the last 10 years, kind of with the success of the show. And now it's sort of a thing that you can, you know, come up to pretty much anybody and say, hey, you'd be good on a Ninja Warrior course. And everybody knows what that is. It's become part of the you know, lexicon of
it. And I think in the last 5-6 years, after certain things started blowing up, certain athletes really became very popular and known. And I've been on a lot of radio tours interviewing those stars. They became iconic themselves, and that really helped the whole thing. That the glitz and the glamour of American Ninja Warrior reminds me a little bit of American Gladiator mixed with professional wrestling and other types of events. It's an event going to these things, right? And I think that's another key part of what makes it a success.
Yeah, our stars have really become stars around America. They get recognized in airports you know, at restaurants and everything. They have huge social media followings. And now most of them have become almost like professional athletes, where they get paid basically because they are a famous ninja athletes, and they will go to gym openings or to, you know, they promote a product and things like that. And they can make their living as a ninja athlete now. It really is something that, especially for kids, are probably more likely to recognize someone like Joe Morofsky, the weatherman, who's a, you know, famous one of our athletes, or Jesse Graff. They're more likely to you know, recognize those athletes than maybe somebody in, you know, professional sports, somebody in the NBA or a pro golfer or some things like that. Kids are really tuned into it.
Yeah, what a great thing. And how fit you have to be. I mean, my word, these people are fit beyond fit. You know, it's one thing to be a sprinter, but to be a ninja, like you said, training has got to be tough.
Yeah, well, it's a unique sport in that a lot of the people who have success on the show were not sort of your stereotypical jock. They were not the people who played football or basketball or had, you know, a lot of size. You know, you mentioned, Neil, that your size might keep you from being a great ninja athlete. And it would be a challenge.
I'm waiting for you to invite me to try to the course sometime, right? Wow. I'll come to one of them and do it, you know.
Open invitation. Next season, you're going to do it.
Okay, I'm in. I'm in. Yeah. I definitely have to reach out to Avery.
I want to see it.
I've been training to say I'm making my pro wrestling comeback at 49. So, you know, let's do it. Let's add another thing to the list.
Yeah, we would love it. But yeah, the typical ninja athlete, they you know, probably the biggest thing is a strength to weight ratio. Our typical, you know, the athletes who do really well are, you know, maybe 5'8", 150 pounds and less. You know, if you're much over that, you're carrying a lot of weight as you go across some of these obstacles. You know, to carry 200 pounds, you know, and land on your fingertips is a tough thing. So we, some of the best athletes we have right now are, you know, 120, 130 pounds, because they're just so light and just kind of fly through things. And it's been interesting because even though, especially in the beginning, a lot of our athletes came from gymnastics or wrestling or track and field, we also get a lot of people who come to the sport late who maybe didn't know they were athletes. You know, they were in the marching band or in theater or something in high school, and they're sitting on the couch watching with their kids, and they watch the show and they go, you know what? I think I could do that. That looks like something I can do. Because it, we get a lot of those sort of couch to the course, and so maybe their kids challenge them, or their, you know, their wife or significant other says, yeah, you think you can do it? Well, why don't you try out for it? And they come out and do it. And it's something they didn't think they were athletes. And they realize there is something in them that, that allows them to do it. I think, you know, at its heart, what we do in ninja is sort of the things we did as kids. You know, it's the monkey bars going across. Yeah. It's swinging on a rope swing in the backyard. It's you know, balancing yourself on the curb as you walk to school. All those, you know, simple things we did as kids in school. And it takes us back to that, that sort of childlike, this is fun. This is not working out. This is not going to the gym and lifting 200 pounds. This is just fun stuff to swing around on bars and things. And it really brings in we've had a lot of people sort of come to it later in life who didn't think they were athletes, and all of a sudden they're hooked.
Wow. Quite interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of the course, how do, it seems to me that somebody is sadistic that is making up the course, because it seems like it gets harder every year and more challenging. I don't know if that's true or not. Please speak to that. But who makes up the course, and what are some things, some new things that you're adding or have added?
Yeah. I mean, along with, as we're talking about sort of the growth of the sport and people who now, you know, train year round, that's just gotten so good that we have to keep, you know, upping the ante, because we'll come up with a really difficult obstacle that we think nobody can do. And in the first year, maybe a lot of them can't. They'll go home, build this, and put it either in their local gym or put it in their backyard, and they'll master it so that by the next season they figure this one out. So we always have to stay one step ahead of them with our obstacle development. And we have a whole process of sort of you know, R&D of testing things, and we start months before the season with ideas on a piece of paper, and then we'll build a sort of a prototype in the warehouse. We'll have testers come out and try that and see how it plays sort of in a small scale. And we'll be, you know, we need to make those 6 inches further apart, or we need to make the landing in 2 inches is too easy, so let's make the landing just 1 inch for them to grab onto, things like that. And it's a real process of testing. We have, by the time our ninjas sort of try it on the course, it may have gone through, you know, 24 different iterations to make it where we think it's difficult, but not so difficult that, you know, the best people can't get through it. You know, this year in particular, we've tried to sort of have fun with things. We've had stuff based on sort of a carnival game, you know, where, you know, it's almost like skee ball, where you had to roll the ball into one of the three chutes. And if you got it into the right chute, it was an easier swing. If you got it into the wrong one, it was a longer one to catch. We had a thing called the giant roller coaster, which was basically hold on to a bar as it went through a couple of ramps, and it flies you through the air. So, you know, we have to stay ahead of the ninjas. So we're always trying to be creative and come up with, you know, new and interesting ideas that'll challenge them and also be fun for the audience watching at home.
See, I think that's fantastic. And who would have thought, like any other Olympic sport where it gets more complex all the time. Right. So there you go. So you're at the point where you're transcending what sports could become, the next types of sports that will be created. Do you feel that American Ninja Warrior, they're going to, people are going to create other sports out of this? I saw one that was on ESPN where they were jumping on tables and stuff that was indoors and stuff that involved almost kind of like American Ninja Warrior. So I think you're going to see a lot more new invented sports coming up from this whole process.
Yeah, I think the one you're talking about is World Chase Tag, which was, you know, had a lot of similarities. In fact, some of our ninjas have been on that and done really well. Yeah, there's been a few sort of spinoffs or shows that kind of tried to tap into that same kind of, you know, what we do on Ninja. It's really interesting to see how it's evolved and everything. You know, we kind of joke about at some point, we're just going to have to put like razor blades on the edge of obstacles because to make it, because they've just gotten so good, especially these younger ninjas who just train 7 days a week. And it's, you know, no matter what challenge we put in front of them, you know, you have to keep making it more difficult.
Yeah. I wonder if ever there'll be head-to-head competition at the same time, like Hunger Games or hopefully not like Hunger Games, but you know, something like that.
One of the spinoffs we had of Ninja was, it was basically a side-by-side racing concept. It was called Team Ninja Warrior and the Ninja versus Ninja, where it was two people racing side-by-side down the same course. And at some point the course would sort of cross and they had to compete on the same track essentially. And that was really fun because they're just sort of, you know, trying to elbow each other out and that kind of thing. That's something that especially some of the international versions have really gone to. And I think, you know, you'll see different versions like that that puts people sort of running against each other.
How long have you been around with, been doing American Ninja Warrior yourself? You've been the executive producer the whole time?
9 years, basically since the show came to NBC.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And how much of a team do you need to really have the success that you have production wise for this? I mean, like putting this team together to make this happen, is it, you have experience level in sports before producing something like this to be able to figure out the camera angles, all the different things, the glitz and the glamour of this amazing spectacle and also production for television.
Yeah, it's a big team. There's about 200 people to put the show together, and we have a lot of people who are, you know, our director comes from a sports background. He was an NBC sports guy who's directed, you know, Indy 500s and Kentucky Derbies and NFL football and that kind of thing, and brought that sort of sports mentality to it. And we have a huge team for art department and lighting and casting and everyone else, you know, because we've been around for a while. It is a big machine that sort of knows how to put together each year. But, you know, when we roll into town, it's just it's like the circus. You know, we've got 18 wheeler after 18 wheeler who roll in, build the course. It takes, you know, a couple of weeks to get the course set up, build the pools with the water and all that stuff. And it's a machine to make it happen.
Yeah, it's amazing where you came from and where you are after just 9 years, because there's so much more than the sport itself to become popular, to get the notoriety that you've gotten and make the show really, really fun to watch. So that's some pretty great leadership, I would say, in that amount of time.
Yeah. Well, I'm a small part of it. You know, there are some other executive producers, starting with Arthur Smith at the top. But yeah, we have a great team, and everybody, because we've had some continuity over the years, everybody kind of knows what to do when the season starts up and what we need to do. And it usually just changes, you know, whatever location we're in. Are we inside? Are we outside? But yeah, there's a lot of great people who make this show happen.
All right. So what's next for American Ninja Warrior? Meaning like the contestants, up and coming contestants coming up, people to watch now for the show.
Well, we're in the middle of our 14th overall season right now. We're about to start our Las Vegas season finale episodes. This is sort of the best of the best have now made it to Las Vegas. And it's basically the final people are going to fight to get through the four stages in Las Vegas to win the $1 million prize. And, you know, it's always, we introduced teenagers a couple of years ago. We lowered the age limit to 15. And that's really opened the doors to a whole new wave of talent. These kids who have basically grown up doing nothing but ninja. And because mm-hmm. their schedule is a little more open than, you know, an adult who's got a job and family and things to worry about, these kids, some of them will go straight from school to the ninja gym for 4 hours a day. And so they're really talented and only 15, 16, 17 years old. And you're going to see those kids really tear it up in Las Vegas, along with some, you know, fan favorites who've maybe been around for a while that fans of the show have followed their, you know, their successes and failures along the way. And that's another great part of our show is that people come back year after year. We've got fan favorites that, you know, we've seen them literally grow up. We've seen them get married, have kids, you know, maybe go through an injury and then they come back. So a lot of great stories of people to follow from year to year. And then there's always a new face who surprises you. You know, this year we have a 16-year-old girl from New Mexico. She's a rock climber and she's just amazing. Her name's Katie Bone, who's just, you know, done things you can't believe. She's a type 1 diabetic who wears an insulin pump on her arms and, you know, still is able to do some amazing things. She's been a big breakout star this year.
Oh, wow. So definitely. And people could check out American Ninja Warrior by going to NBC.com as well and following all the different social media, right?
Yep. And we're on, you know, every Monday night on NBC. And then they repeat us on Friday nights on NBC.
All right. And what's new for you? Any other projects you have going that's happening right now, bro?
Well, literally this is, you know, I said it's a big machine. And so we're still you know, editing the final episodes. And then we start getting ready for the next season and start doing, you know, location scouting for next year. We start the process with casting and a lot of planning for next year because it is such a big machine. You know, when we need a big, we need big locations. So we're reserving, you know, football size stadiums or large plots of land and places. So it takes a while.
Awesome. And do we have social media? You can follow you, Brian. Check you out. Where can we go?
No, that's okay.
You're good.
follow the show.
You follow the show. Got it. And Kim, where can we connect with you? Where's best place?
KimSorrell.com. Sorrell is spelled S-O-R-R-E-L-L-E. Way too many letters, two E's, two L's, two R's. But KimSorrell.com. If you just Google Love Is, the name of the book, I should come up. I should be readily available. Brian, I would love to send you a copy of the book, actually, if I can get your address after or whatever. I would love to be able to share it with you.
We'll connect you to Avery for sure. You can check me out at neilhaley.com, the media giant. Appreciate you guys. And it was a great show. Brian, one more thing. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I'm going to see you. We're going to see you both on the course next year, right?
Oh, yes, that's happening. And Avery, we're going to keep this going and have more conversations with Brian and other people from American Ninja Warrior in a different way. And I appreciate everyone listening and watching the Neil Haley Show, guys. Take care.